This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
When it's settled in, conversation is saying that I want you, saying that I want you. When the lights are dimmed and night goes into my imagination about you, I've been told. Let it in, I can't stop. Before you let your world unfold, all my life was in control. On your skin, a raindrop. All my sins, I forgot. Night falls on your skin as blue as the moonlight sky. We're sipping and I like the way you ride, the way that I like to take you home.
Welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today I am joined by the absolutely amazing Travis Alabanza. They are a trans activist and performer. How are you doing, Travis?
Hi, how you doing? I'm good, yeah.
It's really, really, really great to have you on the show. And I just want to dive right in. And sure. I want to start talking about burgers.
So
this is going to sound a little bit unusual for our listeners. But you have a special relationship with burgers. And although, you know, we laughed just there, but it actually starts... It's a sad story to begin with, but I'll let you explain.
Yeah, so Burgers is my new theatre show that's coming out this month in October, and it basically culminated after someone threw a burger at me in broad daylight on Waterloo Bridge in April 2016, and they yelled the word tranny when they did it, and it was kind of a real catalyst moment for me to think about what it meant to be gender non-conforming outside, and yeah. I wanted to make a show that kind of flipped it on its head, really.
And I understand that nobody really stood up for you and nobody came to your aid. Is that right? Were there other people around?
Yeah, it was like lunchtime rush, Waterloo Bridge, really, really busy. I was walking from one event to the other just across the bridge in an incredible outfit, which is already getting like a lot of attention. And when the burger hit me, I really paused thinking that, like, I didn't almost react because I thought someone must do it, and kind of everyone looked and then just carried on. And I think that's what I kind of talk about in the show, that it wasn't actually the burger being hitting me that made me want to make the show. It was the fact that, like,
the reaction.
It was so busy in central London, like what we believe to be this like liberal place, and no one stood up for me.
Yeah, and it's such a visceral word as well that was shouted at you. I don't even feel comfortable repeating it myself. It's such a visceral word, and I feel like if I was walking down the street and I heard that, I would be horrified and I would want to do something. But at the same time, you know, I think so often people talk about, you know, oh, if that was me, I would have stood up and done something. But I know that there have been times in my life where I've seen some kind of injustice happen and I haven't done anything, whether it's been I've been paralyzed by fear or whether I've just felt uncomfortable, or, you know, a lot of the time people kind of do that thing of, oh, somebody else will do something.
Exactly.
Somebody else will sort this out. And what I think is really sad, though, is that I would have liked to have think that somebody would have, you know, I'm not saying that somebody was going to chase down that person and, you know, reprimand them and, you know, call the police or whatever, but the fact that kind of nobody came to your aid to make sure that you were okay is really kind of, it's heartbreaking, really.
Yeah, but, and I think that, like, I'm really glad you said, like, oh, I think there's moments where I probably haven't done something, because that's what we kind of look at in the show, is that actually what does it take for someone to do something, and why can we maybe go online and share the right article and say the right words, but then when we're in the moment of it, we pause and we stop. And it kind of made me want to, like, vow to do better for other people as well. Like, after that moment, I was like, I never want someone to feel as alone as I did in that moment, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I was, my housemate, he's an incredible kind of trans activist online. He's non-binary, and he often gets a lot of this kind of abuse thrown at him. And we were recently on the train and somebody just felt the need, for whatever reason, because he's quite expressive with the way he looks. Yeah. Somebody felt the need to just take out their picture and blatantly take a photograph.
Always.
Of him.
Always.
And it was just, you know, I feel like a lot of the time, for a lot of people out there, they don't realise how relentless it can be sometimes to be in a world where you look slightly different or you don't conform to the ideas that society has. I think, you know, it's constant. It's every time you leave the house, it's every time you walk down the street, there are always going to be people like that. And, you know, it must be so hard to deal with that kind of...
Yeah, exactly that. Like, it's relentless. You use such a good word, because it's like... And I think what's annoying is that, you know, that obviously we've seen recently, like, there's been so much media about trans people nonstop, and then people creating this, like, dichotomy of a debate. And I think no one realises that actually just to, like, live as someone that's outside of the norms, we aren't focused on these, like, debates that are going up in the air. We're trying to get from, like, A to B.
Yes.
And it's from doing this show, like, part of the show, we got to do research around the country. So I've been having burgers and chips with trans people around different countries outside, different cities outside of London.
We
were in Coventry last week to try and get, like, an idea of what it means to be trans outside of a major city. And everyone was sharing experiences of photos being taken, non-stop being, like, shouted at. In Brighton, when we did it, I think it was 60% of the room said they also had food thrown at them. And what this show's kind of teaching me, that it's really not about me. Like, the show started being about me, and then it's actually, like, how many others, like your flatmate, are just having to prepare for this outside all the time, and we normalise it. And it's about kind of saying, like, this shouldn't be normal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you said there about it's about getting from A to B. You know, you're just trying to live your life, and you're not. Yeah, you know, you're not always trying to make a political statement. You know, I'm sure there are days and moments where you are.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the time you are literally just trying to live your life. And yeah, it really must be relentless, and it really must be kind of hard to swallow. But then I think it's amazing that you're kind of drawing attention to it. And I think kind of stepping outside of the bigger cities and, you know, visiting trans people in these smaller towns, I think that's important too, because we do kind of get wrapped up in our own little bubble sometimes. Yeah. You know, I remember growing up that I didn't really know any trans people in my little hometown. I didn't know any gay people either. A tiny little town called Ilkeston. Nobody's ever heard of it.
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
But, you know, If there was ever to be a gay person or a trans person, or, you know, even a black person, it was that kind of a small town, that it was just cis, straight, white people, that they would be singled out and that would be their identifier, like the black guy, the trans person, the gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we forget that in London, you know, because it's so diverse here. I think it's so, so easy to forget about all of that.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel that when I travelled around with my shows before, like just the audience shift when I go to, like, I was in Cornwall this weekend, and you like suddenly realise, oh, I'm like the only black person in the room. Okay. Yeah. And I'm like a raging fag. How are we going to deal with this one?
I remember, obviously it's not the same thing, but a few years ago I went to India for the first time.
Yeah.
And you know, I thought there was going to be loads of tourists from all over the world there, but I remember stepping outside of New Delhi Airport and realizing for the first time in my life that I was the, I don't want to use the word minority because I think that that's quite a loaded word, but for the first time in my life, I was the only white person. Yeah. And I was walking around the city like, gosh, I suddenly feel like I stand out like a sore thumb. And I'd never had to experience that before. And also, it didn't kind of come with, nobody was looking down at me because I was white, but it didn't kind of come with all of that. But at the same time, I was like, oh, for the first time, I can't understand, but I can, on a small scale, start to kind of empathize with how that must feel. Because again, when we don't experience something, it must be so difficult to connect and relate to it.
Yeah, real. Yeah.
As well, I was reading your press release earlier, and you mentioned talking about kind of like the Me Too movement and things like that, and how that can so often focus on, it can be very cis normative. And, you know, we talk about, you know, people having all of these injustices done to them, but how sometimes like trans and non-binary people are left behind. Do you want to kind of elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, I think for me it's about what happens when trans bodies and bodies outside of gender are placed into like a conversation. How does that complicate it? And for me, like, the show is looking at not just the burger but all the incidences of harassment I've experienced that week or that year, and how I was like, oh wow, what does it mean to hold a body where you're being harassed by not just men but by women? And what does harassment look like by a group of school children? What does it look like when a teacher joins in with the group of school children? Yeah. And I was thinking about how on a trans body, particularly like a gender non-conforming body, harassment can always look different. And, you know, I've had so many times when I've looked a bit different, or I've had a wig on where a man is like started by sexually harassing me on the street, you know, proposing from the back, thinking I'm a certain type of person. Turning around, seeing my stubble, seeing my face, realizing that I'm not the person that he thought I was, and then suddenly that violence turned into aggression and anger. And I feel like conversations around harassment don't ever kind of include those complexities that I think being trans has. Like, you know, sometimes I'm like, I get really scared when someone's like, who I'm presuming to be like a straight man is sexually harassing me on the street, because I know that there might be a moment when he realizes, oh, actually, that's not a cisgender woman, that's this person, and that's when it gets scary, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, the statistics as well around it are alarming. If we look at the statistics of, you know, the number of trans people who are sexually harassed, sexually assaulted, murdered even, it's disproportionately high. And I do think it comes from, I think sometimes it even comes from a place of, you know, anger, misplaced anger. Yeah. You know, these people are like, oh, there's a woman over there and I'm going to sexually harass them, which in itself is obviously not okay, but then they kind of move into, oh, that's a trans woman, or that's a non-binary person, and now I've got this kind of confusion about my own identity, and I'm going to react with anger and rage.
Yeah, I think disgust and desire are like such thin lines, and I think people think that there's this clarity between them, but actually so often when I see people disgusted, I'm like, I think you're confused by your desire.
And I think there's a lot of, there's kind of a, it's a bit of a stereotype, but to a lot of men, it's like they seem to, I don't want to generalize all men, not, you know, this is still a minority of men, but there are men out there who seem to look at other people's bodies, whether it's a woman's body, a non-binary body, a trans body, whatever it is, and they it's like they take ownership of those bodies, and they think that they can use them and treat them in whatever way that they want. And I think we need so much more education around that, but you know, that those conversations need to be inclusive of everyone. Yeah. You know, obviously we need to support women, but we also need to support trans women, non-binary people, or just people as a whole,
people,
you know,
in general, you know. And it's part of the same conversation. That's what I always say to people, is like, I think it all comes down to patriarchy, it all comes down to misogyny and gender, and the different ways that we're all being harmed by it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Travis, it is absolutely incredible to have you on the show.
That's been,
We touched on some very, very serious, important topics there, which I think is amazing, but we are going to move on to something a little bit more fun.
Great.
So we are going to be playing a game shortly, but just before that, we're going to have a little bit of In Store by Noah Slee.
start. You sell it to me right, roller coaster of emotions. Every time, love it all and even more. I've had to think, is this real, tangible? Slide your hand down a little more. Even for that moment, dominate my mind. I lay there and I want it hard to think out all these times. I need relief, are we ever gonna meet? I'm sold to you and what you've got in store.
Travis, it's time for a little bit of fun.
Good.
I think you're going to enjoy this. All so right. This is a little game we like to call Porn or Not Porn.
Oh. Mum, turn off the radio right now.
You're no longer allowed to listen. So in this game, I basically have five different sound bites. Okay. Some of these have been taken from porn. And Great. Some of them have been taken from not porn.
Gathered.
And as your show, which is when is your show? Your show's it's starting the 25th of October.
Yeah, 25th is press night at Hackney Showroom, and then we're on for 2 weeks, and then we go up to Manchester Royal Exchange, and then Homotopia in Liverpool.
Amazing. Well, as the show is called Burgers,
yes,
we thought we would do a food themed porn or not porn this week. So these are either from porn or they're from like cooking shows, TV adverts, okay, famous chefs, that right, kind of thing.
We're going out of my typical search area in terms of porn, but you know what? I'm flexible. It's all about, mum, really turn off.
All right. So also, I don't know the answer to these either.
So, oh, great. So we're guessing together.
We're guessing together. Fab. We're guessing together. All right. So all right, our first one is... Wow, there's a lot of breathing.
Wait, can I get a repeat?
Yeah, you absolutely okay, can. There's a lot going
there's
on
there.
There's
a lot happening there.
We've got two
I'm
people.
I'm so competitive. This game's going to really mess me up. Because of the breath and like the like thing at the beginning, I'm going to go with porn.
You think porn? I do as well. But then like, what's that slurping noise at the end? Like that could be a bit of milkshake action or a bit of... Felching, perhaps.
I think it could be some different acts happening. Yeah. That's what I was kind of getting there.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound like it'd be amazing porn, but I think it could still be porn.
Yeah. Should we have it one more time? All right, here we go.
It's that thing at the end.
I don't know what it is. I think I'm with you on this one.
Porn.
I think it's either porn or it's some kind of like game show or something with food. But I'm going porn.
All right,
going
porn. Let's do it.
All right, final answer. We are saying porn. Scores on the Dolls. Oh, it is not porn. This is from a Korean ASMR YouTuber who does food reviews. And the video is called Bacon of Desire.
Wow.
Do you know what ASMR is,
no,
Travis?
No, I don't.
It's like
explain?
That. I don't know how to. I don't know what the technical definition of it is. But it's like that kind of. It's where people like whisper and they get really close to the microphone. So you can hear all the little noises.
Right,
and you can hear like lip smacking and...
It could be someone else. Do you know what? It could be someone else's porn, that is. Binaries, you know.
Let's listen to that one last final time. Now we know what that was. They're really getting into it.
Wow.
They're really getting into it.
Bravo.
Dedicated to their art. All right, our next one is...
We kind of got the order a little mixed up.
Let's hold on. Let's go again.
We kind of got the order a little mixed up.
Porn.
Is he speaking Italian or is he saying English words?
No, English. Like, he's like, we kind of got the order a bit messed up. That's what I heard.
Yeah,
I think porn.
Yeah, that's some kind of...
Story porn.
Story porn. Story porn. 100%. Yeah, final answer. Story porn. It was indeed porn. This is magnum size pizza delivery for Petite Polly. God, Petite Polly. She does get herself in some pickles, doesn't she? And this is the pizza man saying that he wanted to check the pizza was the correct order as last time he brought the wrong one. And when he opened the box, surprise, surprise, his dick was in it.
Classic.
Beautiful, beautiful. I've seen, you know, because it's like Halloween season coming up now. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many of these like Halloween costumes which incorporate a person's penis. So like it's like a pizza box that they've strapped to themselves. And if you open up the pizza box, there's a penis inside.
Right.
Like people would like to really get sexual around this type of year.
Yeah, I go the other way with my costumes. I'd rather like a... Maybe a flap and I just release my elbow.
Oh.
Just show a bit of skin on my elbow. Yeah. Oh. Not, you know, yeah.
You like to tease. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just a bit of tease. Elbow, knee, that kind
of. My rule with Halloween, though, is like I'm always about getting a little bit slutty and I like getting my body out a little
of
bit.
Course.
You know, I love that. But I always, it has to be scary. Halloween's supposed to be spooky, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad. You know, I'm glad you're going for
no
that.
No cat ears.
No, unless the cat... Like,
it's dead, like a dead cat.
Dead cat, there
that's
we go.
Fine.
Dead, sexy cat.
Yeah, that's my costume this year.
Yeah, great.
All right, our next one is... Wow.
Can we hear it again? I don't think porn because I think I made that noise last week. I think it's when you're just eating something like
it's
I'm quite
so
a vocal
good.
Eater.
Yeah.
Especially like me and my flatmates, like I live with like three other black people, two Nigerian, like food is a really big part of our house.
Yeah, totally.
And so like we make those noises.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like that's a communal like mm.
Mm.
That's just good food. That's just good food.
I'm seeing like some kind of like maybe like a TV food critic and he's just been presented this like amazing meal and he's like taken a first bite and he's like,
Yeah, exactly.
Let's hear that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what that little, there's like a breathe in as well. Like maybe smelling wine. we are saying that it is not porn. Scores on the Dolls. Please, this is indeed not porn. This is a YouTuber called Damn Drops.
Damn, that's
damn,
good food.
Damn Drops. His reaction review of Five Guys Burger and fries. And that's his reaction to the fries.
What? You know, that's understandable because I think Five Guys is like one of the top burger places.
I love a Five
yeah,
Guys.
Yeah.
This is really controversial as well. I love the Five Guys grilled cheese. Have you had it? You don't like it?
No, but I'm not going to judge you.
All they do is they take like burger buns and then they like... just
oh, wait,
like,
it's a burger fried cheese.
It's like a burger grilled cheese and it's like really good.
Oh, no,
good.
That does sound good.
It is good.
I'm sorry for my first reaction. That does sound good.
Yeah, I'm really upset. All right, our next porn or not porn is...
Take these to the table.
Again, there's a lot happening.
Yeah, well.
Slapping noises, people saying things.
Take these to the table.
Take these to the table.
And there's like somebody moaning in the background and
then
what sounds like a fish flapping around.
Take these to the table.
Porn, I can hear that.
Oh.
I think. I'm not sure.
So she's like, take these to the table and there's like people having sex behind her.
Maybe it's like a cross food review and porn at the same time. They've like budget studios, so they're doing both.
That could work. I feel like that could really take off.
But I think it's porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna say porn on this one as well. Yeah, final answer, porn. It is indeed porn. This is Real Wife Stories, The Dinner Party. So the wife went to the kitchen with her husband's friend during the dinner party. And when she asked him to take the cutlery to the table, he dropped it. And next minute they were fucking.
Incredible.
Yeah, look.
The storyline, it's like really...
They've really thought this through, you know? Really thought it through. Let's hear that one more time.
Take these to the table.
Can hear all of that in that.
But it sounds, it said there that she says, can you take these to the table? And then they start having sex. But it sounds like they're already going at it. It's like multitasking going on here.
Method, yeah, definitely.
You know, people say that porn actors have no talent. They clearly do.
I don't know who said, they are incredible.
They are incredible people. Yeah. Shout out to them. All right, we have time for one more. So this is our final one.
Best things in life are messy.
The best things in life are messy. Ooh. I think this is some kind of like TV food program where they've really tried to sex it up a bit. So you've got a sexy lady there and, you know, she's playing with her whipped cream and it's kind of porn-esque, but it's not.
Like blurring the lines. Like
crossing genres. Yeah, like we're sexing this up, but it's not porn. She's not got her breasts out. You know, it's very above board. This is, you know, suitable for your 7 p.m. TV slot.
Right, got you, just about.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, I think that, yeah, that or I'm like thinking it's like a music video.
Oh, yeah.
About like food.
Yeah, I
I'm
see that.
I'm not sure, I don't know.
Let's hear it again.
Best things in life are messy.
I see that now. Yeah, I could vibe to that.
Or an advert, but yeah, not porn.
Yeah, not porn. We're in agreement here. We are saying not porn. Not porn. This is Kim Kardashian in an old advert for Carl's Jr. and Hardee's Burgers that was deemed too sexy for TV. I think we pretty much nailed that.
We did.
We used our visualization skills. And I'm really, really proud. I'm really, really proud of us.
I really am too. We really nailed that.
Yeah, we
just
did.
Took us one to get into, and then it was like, you know,
smashed it. Well, Travis, later on in the show, we are going to be reacting to our lovely listeners' sex confessions. So if you are listening at home and you'd like to send us a sex confession, you can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. It's completely anonymous as well. We'll strip all of your personal information and we won't read out your name or anything like that. So give us your absolute worst, because we're in the mood for some juicy confessions.
Definitely.
We're going to be joined very, very shortly by the amazing Jinx Monsoon. But before we do that, let's have a little bit more of the absolute legend that is Kim Petras. And this is her from her new album, which she just dropped, which is like a whole album of like Halloween music. We absolutely stan. So this is Kim. Close your eyes.
You take a drag, I take a sip. I want your legendary kiss. You know I got designer taste, and your design's too good to waste. When the bees comes out at night, yeah, it always wants a bite. And I try to resist, but then the devil always wins, yeah. Sometimes the best things kinda hurt, cause this is real, it's unrehearsed. My final touch, your fatal curse, yeah.
Oh,
We are now joined by the absolutely amazing Jinx Monsoon. How are you doing, Jinx?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for asking.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm joined here in the studio with the amazing Travis, who is actually, I believe you guys have kind of like, you've got like similar shows coming up or something.
Same venue. Homotopia Fest.
So you're going to both be performing at the same venue, which is amazing. You know, like, I feel like this little queer LGBT plus world, there's so many overlaps, and that's wonderful.
Oh yeah, I've had so much fun over the years performing around the world and getting to experience the queer communities in different regions and experiencing different local drag and performance art. And it's been a wonderful privilege in my career.
Yeah, no, it's really amazing, and I guess that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today as well. I mean, in the past couple of weeks, we've had Benda LaCreme and Bob the Drag Queen on the show, and we were really talking about, you know, using drag and using queer performance as a political statement. And I kind of want to, you know, we talked about kind of historically what an amazing thing that has been for the LGBT plus community, but I want to talk about the future of that. And Jinx, I know you have a new show coming up, and as do you, Travis. So I kind of wanted to kind of ask both of you how you kind of see, you know, using your art and using your performance to kind of, it's fun, and you both kind of, you know, lean into comedy and things like that, but how using that is kind of a political statement. So Jinx, do you want to tell us a little bit about your show and how you're using that?
Well, my upcoming show, The Ginger Snaps, is kind of like my own. I embrace the struggles that I've experienced in my career, and the goal for the show was to destigmatize the conversation of mental illness and mental health in a lighthearted and personal way. Mm-hmm. And when I write my shows, I try really hard to not make sweeping generalizations about the topics, but only talk about my own personal experience with the topic. So I don't make any grand statements about mental health other than how they personally pertain to me, so that then people can just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show, and then kind of take what they observed in my show and apply it to their own life.
I think that's one thing that I've always kind of really admired about you, is your ability to put yourself out there so much. You know, I think there are some other drag artists who, you know, they throw themselves into their performance, but it's, you know, it's putting on a mask. Whereas I feel like sometimes you do the opposite of that, and you really open yourself up, and you kind of give this really genuine honesty, you know, particularly when talking about things like mental health. I think that's so, so important. And I think that's something unique that you bring to the table.
Well, when I started drag, I really liked the distinction between Jinx Monsoon, the character, and Derek Hoffer, the artist.
Yeah.
And it's been in the last, you know, maybe like 6 or 7 years that I started to realize that Jinx was really more an extension of myself and kind of like a full realization of myself rather than being a distinct and separate character.
Yeah.
And while I do give Jinx a lot of attributes that are very different from me, I also think that they're kind of like, I always say I kind of take out my rage with the world through Jinx. I like let my demons out on stage so that they don't plague me in my day-to-day life.
I love that. I really, really love that. And I think that's such a... I'm kind of jealous that I don't have that outlet to kind of let my demons out, I guess.
Well, I think we can find outlets for that in many different ways.
Yeah.
I just happened to be lucky that since before I could talk, I knew that I wanted to be a performer.
Absolutely.
I've had a tunnel vision since I was like 6. Kind of leading up to what I do now with my life.
Yeah.
And that's something I've been fortunate in, but also, you know, that drives kind of my ambition and my conviction, which it can be all-consuming at times.
When did you realize that it was kind of like drag that you wanted to do? Because you said you wanted to be a performer from such a young age, and when did that kind of, you know, how was Jinx born, I guess?
I've done a lot of reflecting on this, and I think a big part of it was my own gender identity finding a way to express itself.
Yeah.
And I can tell you the moment I decided I was going to be a drag queen, I was going to a queer prom at the Teen Resource Center for queer teens that I went to in my hometown, and I dressed up as the Queen of Hearts. And all it took was seeing myself in full drag once, and I knew I was going to be doing it for the rest of my life.
Oh, I love that. That's wonderful.
Yeah. But what I find these days, and the way I've kind of refined my my understanding of why I chose drag, is that, you know, from a very young age, I really didn't identify as male. Yeah. And I think drag gave me a safe place to explore my own feminine identity. And it wasn't until drag became my career, and I say this all the time, but it gave me the ability to not have to fit into a uniform in my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
You know, I turned my passion into my career, so I don't work a typical 9-to-5 day job, and I don't have to wear a uniform that, you know, makes me fit into society in the way that they think I should.
Yeah.
And it's allowed me to explore my own gender identity, which, you know, allowed me to come out as non-binary and gender non-conforming. And I think now that I identify as trans in my own way, I don't use drag as an outlet anymore. It's just, like I said, an extension of myself, and it's something that's just true for me.
Totally. Travis, I kind of wanted to open this up to you as well, because I think in a very different way to Jinx, you are also kind of exploring your gender identity as a non-binary person through your kind of theatre work and your stage work. And it's a different thing, but you're also kind of using it as an outlet, you know, to bring awareness to trans issues.
Yeah, I think I really resonated with what Jinx said, because I think so often for me, I went to the stage because it was the place that I could do the things that I was getting punished for outside, but this time people would applaud me whilst doing it, right? So suddenly, like, all the things that if I walk outside now in the street in, I'll be bashed or shouted at or looked at, I could go on stage and suddenly people were celebrating those things. And for me, you know, people talk about costume when we're in the theatre world, and I see it as the role reverse that I said to the costume department just yesterday for the new show. I need these clothes to be specific because they're the clothes that I would wear every day if I could.
Yeah.
And what you're seeing me in now is actually the costume, and what I want is when I go on stage to wear the thing that actually I want to wear. So for me, yeah, gender has always been the place on stage where I can figure it out.
Yeah. And do you think there's kind of a... Why do you think there is this kind of difference between the way people treat people on stage and the way people treat people in the world? Why are people more likely to stand up and applaud you if you're stood on a stage, but why are they so reluctant to support your identity and who you are when you're just out there living your life?
Jinx, what do you think to that?
I think it's kind of like when we create a show and we put it on stage, it becomes a beacon for other people who feel and think the same way. I mean, you don't always know going into a show what it's going to be, but when you're an out and proud trans performer creating work, it's a beacon for other people who want to experience that, whether they're going through their own exploration of identity or they're just curious about it and want to learn more. And one of my favorite things is when I'm doing my shows, when like a fan of mine brings like their father or their boyfriend or their brother or something who is reluctant because he goes into it thinking, well, there's nothing in a drag show that I'm going to get out of this, you know, like they go into it with this reluctance, thinking that being a masculine performing man in their day-to-day life, that they don't have anything that they might enjoy or learn from a drag show.
Sure.
And when they come and meet me afterwards and tell me, well, I didn't think I was going to like it, but I really ended up liking it, you know, it's kind of a backhanded compliment. But at the same time, I'm happy that that's like, you know, that's another person who's going out into the world with their mind changed.
Absolutely. Continue.
Oh, no, I've just been thinking a lot about this, about kind of the mutual consent between performer and audience.
Mm.
You know, when you buy tickets to a show, the audience and the performer have kind of made this mutual agreement to participate in this thing together.
Sure.
And one of the things I'm finding difficult is people who come to shows and then, like, film it on their phone and then put it out into the world, you're removing that layer of mutual consent. And sometimes it's a good thing, and sometimes people, you know, latch onto it as an excuse to hate someone.
Yes.
Because they, you know, they weren't introduced to it in the right way. It's been taken out of context. They didn't sit down and watch the show from start to finish. They're just seeing one snippet of it out of context and then making their assessment of it. And it's kind of a frustrating thing as an artist to see that happen, not only to myself, but to other performers.
Yeah.
And I know it's in an effort to share artwork, but sometimes, you know, removing that layer of mutual consent can be problematic.
I could not agree more, and I think it's such an important point that you've made and brought up, you know, and it is something we see repeatedly happening online. The, you know, people take these tiny little snippets. Sometimes it's, you know, 5-10 seconds, and they take it completely out of context. And sometimes that could be, you know, that could be from an hour and a half show where you've really built that mutual respect with your audience, and there's an understanding there, and there's kind of elements of satire that you can't get from just a snippet. And I think it
yeah.
happens so often, and people online are so quick to hate on people when they absolutely don't deserve it. People, you know, we have this call out culture. We have people who are so eager to throw hate at people online that, you know, it's not usually a reflection of the person they're attacking. It's often a reflection of themselves. So, you know, to anyone out there listening, I think it's really important that, you know, things need context, and, you know, things are never as black and white as they seem. There's a lot that happens in the gray area, and it's really important to take that into consideration, you know, particularly when stepping outside of, like you said, there's a mutual agreement when you enter a space together with your audience that you're all there to enjoy something, and there's a bond there. So yeah, I think it's amazing that you brought that up.
Yeah, it's difficult as a performer in the social media age, because mm-hmm. I do a lot of different things in a year, and I do a lot of shows about sex positivity. I participate in a roast once a year. We're about to do our third year. And I, you know, as someone who tries my best to perpetuate positivity, you know, it was really a weird idea for me to participate in a roast the first time I did.
Yeah,
but
totally.
I think that why I find it important is that when we, the disenfranchised, roast each other and roast ourselves on stage, it's in an effort to take the power away from the actual oppressors. And I think all the time about this quote from Gypsy Rose Lee, which I don't know if she ever actually said it or if it was just in the musical, but she says, "No one laughs at me because I laugh at me first." And that's why I take it out on myself on stage sometimes, is because then I'm taking away the power from people who would actually wish to do me harm, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think that's what I love about you. You know, you put the humor into it, and you're not afraid to laugh at yourself. And I think that's so amazing. I know that your tour is coming up. That's beginning on November 3rd, I believe.
Yes.
And then you're joining us over in the UK at London's Leicester Square Theatre from the 12th to the 23rd of March. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm so excited. I had such a great time. I did a show called Jinx Sings Everything at the Leicester Square Theatre last year. And it's a show where I only take requests from the audience. So there's no set list. There's no script. There's nothing planned. I just kind of weave my way through the evening, taking requests and telling stories as they pop up in my head. And it keeps me kind of flexing my improvisational muscles.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's amazing, and I feel like people as well can come back because it's going to be a different show every single night.
Yeah.
Well, I will I will definitely be getting myself along when you're here in March. I'm very, very excited for that. And I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and for being so open and honest and candid. So, yeah, you've been a superstar.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It was very lovely talking to both of you.
Of course. Well, we're going to play you out with a little bit of Years and Years.
It's like thunder and lightning. You hurt me without trying. Tempestuous rising. No, I don't like to be this way. You're Jekyll and hiding. Are you real? Are you lying? So stop with your crying. I can't handle it now.
You tell everyone our love went cold.
Going around spreading the word it's over.
If that's how you feel, then go.
Don't come around saying I still want you.
1 minute you say you're a dame, then you're telling me you can't breathe. Well, you should set me free, baby, if you're over me. Yesterday you said I'm the one, but now you say you're done. Stop telling the word I need, baby, if you're over me.
There you go, Larry said it. Don't look at me, I'll offend it. You play games till it ended. I've got to look out for me. I won't say that it's easy. Oh, I know I hate leaving, but you can't keep deceiving. Does it make you feel good?
You tell everyone our love went cold.
Going around spreading the word it's over.
If that's how you feel, then you should go.
Don't come around saying I still want you.
1 minute you say you're a dame, then you're telling me you can't breathe. Well, you should set me free, baby, if you're over me. Yesterday you said I'm the one, but now you say you're done. Stop telling me what I need, baby, if you're over me. If you're over me. If you're over me. Stop telling me what I need, baby, if you're over me. Remain. Time never could heal this pain. I thought I believed in fate. No, nothing for us would change. Same story, the same mistake. This heart just had to break. Oh, 1 minute you say you're a dame, then you're telling me you can't breathe. Well, you should set me free, baby, if you're over me. Yesterday you said I'm the one, but now you say you're done. Stop telling me what I need, baby, if you're over me. Just go, it's over. Just go, it's over. Just go, it's over. Baby, if you're over me. Just go, it's over. Just go, it's over. Just go, it's over. Baby, if you're over me.
FUBAR Radio presents
Harriet Rose.
Peking Duck are in the building. Whoa, 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 whoa. Tour can be actually a bit of an intense, hard place. Do you just go hard all the time and then regret it later?
We used to party a lot. We'd do some pretty questionable things even whilst we were playing.
I don't know, it's kind of turned up a little in the last... I mean, that European tour was...
Yeah, it was clown town.
It was absolute fucking clown town.
Yeah, I'm just trying
town.
To make it sound like safe. You got to pick your battles as opposed to raging every night.
Gosh,
can't sustain
yeah.
that. You can't sustain drinking until 7 a.m. every single night. Otherwise, you're not going to perform a good show and you're not going to live that long either.
And you
so
need
it's
the energy.
That balance. Yeah, you got to get that energy.
Every Thursday,
Harriet Rose.
From 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Another shout out to Jinx Monsoon there, who we just had on the show. I mean, it's so lovely when people come on the show and they really, really open up and are so honest. So, yeah, shout out to her. And speaking of opening up and being honest, it is time for us to react to your sex confessions. Thank you so much to everyone who has sent them in. I think we're going to dive straight on in. Travis, would you like to read the first one for me?
First one?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. My boyfriend always pulls my hair too hard during sex. I've told him before to chill out, but he still yanks my parting apart.
Like on the front? Like pulling on the parting?
Well, I'm sorry. If you've told him to chill out and he's not chilling out, then you've got an... He needs to chill out. You said chill out.
He needs to listen. And I feel like I can relate as well, because I've had some people pull my hair pretty hard during sex. And I don't know if it's like I'm really sensitive there or something, but like that really... I like a bit of roughness, but like hair pulling, no, not on board.
They pull and then like, I'm like, well, my curls will come out in your hair. I don't know if that's your kind of vibe, but like... But I feel like with this one, you said chill. He should chill.
Yeah, like consent is important. Yeah. And, you know, maybe the boyfriend thinks, oh, it's not that big a deal. They're saying chill out, but they love it clearly. You know, you need to listen to what your partner's saying. So what maybe is happening here is maybe if you're only saying like chill out during sex, maybe that could be part of the issue. Like maybe you need to have the conversation outside of sex.
Post-sex check-in.
Yeah, you know? And just be like, hon.
Chill.
I know you like to pull, but it I'm not into it. So
say your boundaries and like, yeah. I feel like also safe words are always good. Mm-hmm. If you're like someone that's going into like the rough mum, please get off the bed.
Travis's mum, please stop listening.
But like safe words are always good. If you are someone that maybe does like to do the rougher kind of sex, like establishing a safe word's really good, because like then you know that if they don't listen when it's a safe word, then that's an issue with them, that you've got to like get them out quick.
Absolutely. And I always swear by the red, yellow, green traffic light system. So this is, you know, if you're comfortable with everything that's happening, green, carry on. Yellow, that's where it's dangerously getting close to you not being comfortable. Red is immediately stop. Yeah, and I think that's really, really useful. So, you know, maybe have that conversation and maybe try that, and that might help. I think we only have time for one more.
Wow.
We've blasted through the show, Travis. I will read this one.
Because
your mum's listening. Tried using wax during sex for the first time. We wanted to try new things. Would recommend, but not sure I will be doing it in 10 years. I've tried the wax thing.
You have?
I have. And like, I like the little like, like the little, because it's like little short, burny feelings,
but
like it doesn't damage your skin, and it's like, I'm sure it's good for your skin, but like it doesn't, like it's not going to leave like proper burn marks or anything, and it's enjoyable, but it's so messy.
Yeah, I was going to say
it's so messy, and like if you get that, especially if you're getting that caught in hair, like pubic hair, whatever, like it's just, it's a mess. It's a mess for situation.
Yeah, I've never done wax.
No,
I don't know if this is persuading me to do wax. But now it's in the back of my mind.
Yeah, like, I don't think I would do it again. Like, if I had a partner who was really into it, I think I might be like, okay, we can do that. But I feel like it's one of those things that looks really hot in porn, but then when it comes to reality.
Yeah, in 2022, when I have sex again, maybe I'll try it.
Well, Travis, I would love to do some more sex confessions. Thank you to everyone who sent them in. If we haven't done you this week, we'll definitely do you next week. But yeah, this brings us right up to the end of the show.
It's been so lovely.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. And we need to do another little promo for Burgers.
Come to Burgers.
People need to see this show.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I think they do.
They do need to come see the show. You know, talking about so many important issues. I'm really, really excited to see it. So remind us again where it's at. It's at Hackney Showroom.
It opens. Press night is the 25th of October for 2 weeks. And then it goes up to Royal Exchange in Manchester, Liverpool, Homotopia.
Amazing. And if people want to follow you on social media and see everything else you're doing, where can they do that?
Travis Alabanza on all forms.
Amazing. Well, Travis, you have been an absolute superstar. I'm going to play you out with a little bit of Robin's new music. This is a little bit of Honey, because you're my honey.
Thanks, babe.
No, you're not going to get what you need. Baby, you have what you want. Come get your honey. No, you're not gonna get what you need. But baby, you have what you want. Come get your honey. I got your honey, baby. Every color and every taste, every breath that whispers your name. It's like emeralds on the pavement. Every color and every taste, every breath that whispers your name. It's like emeralds on the pavement. I got your honey, baby. At the heart of some kind of flower, stuck in glitter strands of saliva. Won't you give?
inside like a treasure. Let the brightest place be your passion. I got your honey, baby.